That familiar opening, you know we're going to the solar system in today's podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Got a little treat for you today as we explore some planetary explorations. didn't quite come out right. A couple of announcements before we get started today. First of all, you received my email by now about the self-graded homework, so go ahead and turn that into me when you get a chance. A little self-reflection on how you're doing on those analysis assignments. No more homework after that one, after the one that was due today, actually. So thanks for submitting those, and we'll tally up the grades as soon as we can. Make sure that you let me know if you're interested in knowing what all your scores are for the term. I'll be happy to send those out to you. The final project will be distributed this Thursday, the 23rd, and that will be due on May 1st. There will be no final exam. So more about the final project on Thursday. Picture, if you will, our solar system. And for this example, you're going to have to suspend disbelief and imagine that we live on the sun. It's a bit hot there, but you could always work on your tan. So, and let's say that the sun is represented by the note C. So here we are at home, everything's nice on the sun. And beyond us, we have all these other planets that circle around us constantly. First planet would be Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, etc. And for this diatonic solar system, we're going to pretend that there are 6 planets orbiting around the solar system, orbiting around the sun, which is the center of our solar system. So the sun is our tonic. Other planets are represented by chords. The first planet, third planet, second, third, fourth, etc. And they all have a role to play as they orbit around our sun, to resolving back to one. Sometimes we can go that far afield and come back. Homage to the late Bill Withers, who passed away last week. So, all of the planets, as they revolve around the sun, play a role in the solar system in the same way that the supertonic, the mediant, the subdominant, and the dominant, as they revolve around the tonic, play a role. But the sun, being the tonic, is the most important and center of gravity in terms of importance and in terms of how all of the other planets, that is all of the other tones of the scale, relate to the tonic. We've just gotten into these ideas of tonicization and modulation, which in our solar system analogy would be akin to taking off in your spaceship and exploring another planet. So I've arrived, first, two, three, it's actually scale degree 5, but let's say it's a 4th planet from the sun, and I'm going to tonicize it by staying in its orbit just very briefly, and then I'm back to the sun. Oh, whoa, I don't want to get too far away because I'm so happy with my home on the sun, etc., etc. So this time I'm going to take off in my spaceship. I'm going to this planet. And I do a couple of progressions. I do a few more progressions. I'm getting pretty comfortable here on this planet. Done a deceptive progression on this new planet. I'm getting so comfortable here on this planet, I almost seem like it's my home now. That would be more like a modulation. You've spent some time, you've done a nice cadence. You could even have a new song on your new planet. Modulation is when you spend enough time in the new key or the new planet so that you really feel at home there, and that planet now seems to feel like the center of my universe, but I know in the grand scheme of things that I'm away from my home, and all it would take is a dominant tectonic to bring me back to my home. Back at home on my beautiful, hot, molten sun, where everything is warm and cozy. So, tonicization is brief. I go to another planet, maybe one hint at a 5-1 progression, but then I very quickly go back to my home. That's a tonicization. An extended tonicization, that's my destination. Maybe a couple of progressions. I'm right back home again. So tonicization's not so long-lasting. Modulation, I'm gonna go to Jupiter this time. I've got a nice 5-1 there. A good solid progression there. And if I even do a cadential 6-4, that made a little sense to you. It's an awful lot of fun for me to go on that trip through the solar system. Let us now go to page 462 in the Late's text, And we're going to look through a few extended tonicizations and finally a modulation from the literature. So first, example 19.1 from Schumann. I'm going to play the recording for you right now.
19.1. Gottes ist der Orient, Gottes ist der Occident.
So for this one, there are two different analyses presented on page 462 and 463 in the text. And notice the difference. In the first one, we start in C major, get into 6-4-5-1, so a nice cadence there. Here in measure five, we've got, it says 4 of 2, 5 of 2, and then 2, using the slash notation that we've learned over the last couple of classes. So we have this progression, which really sounds an awful lot like 4 to 5 to 1 in the key of D minor. G minor is 4. A major is 5. So this would be like we've gone to the planet D minor and we've done the progression 4, 5, 1. You might want to think of 4 and 5 as moons of the new planet that orbit that planet in the same way that the planets orbit or tonic of a sun, if that makes sense to you. Now, as you go ahead here from measure 6 to, then you have 5, 6 of 2, and then finally 2, etc. Writing all of this slash notation can become laborious and a bit cluttered on the page. So we're going to learn a new analytical representation here, diagramming method. If you look on page 463, example 19.1b, it's that same progression in measures 5, 6, and 7, and 8. But now what you see we've done, we take the key that we're tonicizing, that's D minor or 2, and then bracket the chords to which that key refers. So all of the chords that can be heard or analyzed in the key of D minor. So let's take a look there, measure 5. This is example 19.1b. That G minor chord, that A major chord, D minor. All of that makes sense in D minor. It makes theoretical sense, and it also should make sense to your ear that you can hear. Now that sounds like a progression in D minor. It sounds like 4-5-1 in D minor. And so this bracket notation, we call it, where you bracket the chords that represent the tonicization of the new key, below the bracket, you put the key of the temporary tonic, and then you're left with a simple progression, which should be how you hear this. 4-5-1, 5-6-1, 1-6. That takes the slashes out and lets you see what you're actually hearing, a simple progression of basic chords, 4-5-1, 5-6-1, 1-6, and then shows you that those are all applied to or tonicizing the Roman numeral under the bracket, which is 2. Notice that it's a small 2 to represent the minor key. And then when you come back to the original key, that was the last 3 measures. So again, measures 5 through 8. This is example 19.1b. 4-5-1 in the key of 2. 5-6-1 in the key of 2. And then no bracket here because this is the cadential 6-4 back in the home key, or the sun, if you will. So that's a nice way to use that alternate style of the bracket notation. Actually, I prefer doing that. Some of you will too, as you go on and do more and more of these. It's easier to do the bracket than to continue writing slashes over and over and over and over again, especially with these longer extended tonicizations. We turn our attention now to example 19.2, the Beethoven Piano Sonata in E flat major, opus 27, number 1. Perfect example for an extended tonicization here. So we start off, as it says, in the key of E flat with a cadence. This is in the middle of this piece. So started in A flat, we had a nice cadence. Nice 5-1, perfect authentic cadence in E flat. Then from out of nowhere, we have this C major chord on the second measure of the example. Notice that Beethoven writes pianissimo there, and I always use the soft pedal on that. You want to just shock your audience if you're a performer there, because this is a chord, C major, doesn't belong in the key of E flat. In E flat, obviously, you'd have C minor as the sixth chord. So C major heralds a new and should be startling event. If you think of C major, if that was a 5 chord, of what would it be 5? What planet would it belong to? So if you think of C major as 5, it would be 5 of F minor, or the 2 in the 2 chord in the key of E flat major. And in fact, that's what we're going to do here, where, as you can see by the bracket notation on example 19.2, we are about to embark on an exploration of the planet 2. So that's 5 in the key. 5-4-2-1-6-5-6-1. Notice how the bass line is kind of circling around the orbit of that F and finally arriving on it. Circling around it and arriving on it again. And now here with A natural in the bass, what is A natural doing in the key of F minor? Nothing. You're absolutely right. In fact, that A natural is what counteracts any feeling of F minor. That points us to B flat, especially being there in the bass. And B flat, does that have any relation to our original planet, our original key of E flat? Yeah, of course it does. It's the 5, and it's going to hang out there for a while. To bring us home to the home key or planet of E flat. So look at the bracket notation. Second measure is where we start the bracket over 2. All of those chords can be heard in the key of 2. 5-5-4-2-1-6. All of this standard progression stuff. You guys know these progressions. 5-4-2-1-6. 5-6-5-1. 7-6-1-6. Old stuff. You know everything you need to know about tonal harmony now. You now need to know and be flexible enough to apply it to different, you got it, planets. different tonal centers based on the original tonic. Notice here on the second level that even during the tonicization, when you're having an extended tonicization of two, that's representing the PD in the second level. So we cadence in E flat, that's T. All of this business, business in F minor is representing the PD of the phrase model, because it's 2 going to B flat, which is 5 or 5-7. All of that's dominant. So no matter how far afield you get, that second level is showing you the relationship of your excursion to outer space, is showing you the relationship of that excursion to the sun, or your home key, in this case, E flat. So a long or extended tonicization of F minor, or the two chord, and then that represents PD, and then coming back D, and then T again. Well, our final tonicization example, and this one's really interesting. So turn the page to 464, and we'll look at 19.3. Well, let me play the recording of that first.
19.3.
So this one is interesting, and you almost have to have a second look at it in order to know how to properly analyze this. We're starting in G minor. By the time you get there, you have heard an F major minor 7 to B flat progression, which you recognize as a tonicization of the relative major, or 5-7 of 3 going to 3. Now let's go ahead. And so there we have A major minor 7 going to D minor, or we're tonicizing D minor, or D minor is the minor dominant, or the minor 5 chord based on the original tonic of G minor. So we were in G minor. First we tonicize B flat, and then we tonicize D. So two important points to make about this progression. And this happens so smoothly and naturally, you hardly even notice this kind of thing. But let's start with the second tonicization, the one of D minor. So I'm in measure 1, 2, 3, 4, measure 4, where it says 6, 5, 7, 1. So B flat major to A major, or A major minor 7 rather, to D minor would be the progression 6 to 5 to 1 if you were in the key of D minor. B flat major is 6, and then the 5-1. So a nice strong progression with 6 operating as the predominant, right? B flat major going to A major, and then D minor, 6, 5, 7, 1. Well, now when we look back at measure 2 going to 3, we see the same progression, only this time in major. 6, 5, 7 to 1. 6, 5, 7 to 1 in a different key. And so by the time you've heard that progression a second time, you back up and you go, oh, wait a minute, I've heard that before. And you say, ah, yeah, measure 2 and 3 is 6, 5, 7, 1 in the key of 3, or B flat major. And then the next two measures are 6, 5, 7, 1 in the key of D minor or 5. So this repeated progression on a different key, again, composers like to do that. They save a little, it's economical by using the same progression, but just transposed to different keys. So one neat thing about this is you start on G minor, and then when you get to the downbeat of measure 2, you automatically say, oh, that's 6 of 3. No, of course you don't say that, because that's G minor. You're going along in G minor. The downbeat of measure 2, there's no reason to think of that as anything but a continuation of the tonic, the one chord. Until... forgive my mistakes there. Until you've heard it, that whole progression, 2 times, then you do what's called reinterpretation. At that point, you go back and say the downbeat of measure 2, which is a G minor triad that I initially heard as a 1 chord, can now be reinterpreted as 6 of 3. Think about that. Some of you are going to get that instantaneously. And some of you are going to have to think about that for a while. Rewind that section, listen to it again, and realize how the downbeat of measure 2, which initially sounds like 1 in G minor, can be reinterpreted after hearing the rest of the phrase, can be reinterpreted as 6 of 3. I think that's pretty darn cool myself. The other thing of importance here is that if you look at the 3 keys that are tonicized here, first G minor, the original key, and then B flat, and then D minor, if we take just the roots of those chords, what do you notice about those 3 notes? That's right, they obviously spell out the tonic of G minor. So by tonicizing 3 and then by tonicizing 5, you have even more of a way of displaying how the original G minor key has been expanded. Where does he talk about this? I don't know that he does. I think that he should. Well, the idea of tonicizing 1, then 3, then 5. Oh, there it says it right underneath the example. When you tonicize G, B flat, and D results in a large scale arpeggiation of the tonic G minor chord. G, we do our stuff on that for a while. Then we do some stuff on B flat for a while. Then we do some stuff on G for a while. We've really just helped to flesh out the original tonic chord through excursions to its 3 and 5. But all of that really is an expanded tonic in a different sense. Okay, finally today we're going to look at modulation. This is a complicated and difficult topic, which we're just going to get a tiny little taste of today. You'll get much more about this in sophomore theory. So let's look on page 467, there where you see the heading modulation. And first of all, it says longer tonicizations, which can occupy entire sections of a piece, are called modulations. It's really, the second line here is very well stated. It's difficult to draw a firm line between tonicization and modulation. A very short tonicization, maybe just, 5/7 of 3, followed by 3, and then you go back to the original key. That's obviously a tonicization. A long modulation where you're going along, then all of a sudden you find yourself in a new key, and you stay there, and you have a cadence, you have another cadence, you have another cadence, and you're there for a while, like I did when I traveled to Jupiter, then that's obviously a modulation. In between those two, there's a lot of gray area. Is this a long tonicization or a short modulation? It's almost like sometimes you see somebody and you say, are those short, long pants, or are they long, short pants? sorry, I think you know what I mean by that. So is this a long tonicization or is it a short modulation? Often it's impossible to tell. And often there's really no need to, you know, as long as you can explain what's happening, there's no need to put a label on some of these. But the book nevertheless gives you a little guideline here on page 467. And I put a star next to this in my book because it's important. So he says, tonicizations usually occur within phrases. So just within one phrase, you're into the new key and then you're out of it. They don't disrupt the feeling of the home key. They do not have strong cadences in new keys, and they are fleeting. You're just going to do an orbit around the planet and then come home. Modulations, on the other hand, include a strong cadence in the new key. You're landing on the planet. You're going to, you know, build a temporary home there. A strong cadence in the new key, and the new key continues after the cadence. Maybe even go around and do some sightseeing on your new planet. They give the feeling that the new key has usurped, and there's a good word, has usurped the home key, at least for the moment. But in tonal music, until you get to very late romantic music and after, it's always going to come back to the original tonic key, or sun in my opening analogy. So you can read that over again, but for our purposes right now, if you don't have a strong cadence in the new key, we'll call it a tonicization. If you have a strong cadence in the new key, and if you continue in the new key for a little while after that cadence, then we're going to call that a modulation. So let's look over on page 469 at example 19.6. Example. Now notice that I took the repeat of the first section, because the first section, as you see on page 469 here, we started out in E minor, half cadence. And notice the second phrase ends up in the key of G major. Five, five, one of the relative major. Very common place to go if you're in a minor key is to modulate to its relative major. 2-6, this is measure 6. 5-7, 1, all in the key of G. So we've got a nice strong cadence at the end of that section, and then we continue after the repeat sign with a G major chord in first inversion. So we're continuing in the key of G. And that was one of our conditions for saying, oh, I think we can call this a modulation. We're going to continue in G. Now, the question is, what happens at this point in the music? To E minor, or is it going to continue in G major? You could hear it either way. I think if this is a piece in E minor, eventually, I don't know this piece that well, eventually it's going to come back to E minor. The point being here is that you have a nice strong cadence on G major, and then after that cadence, when you go ahead after the repeat sign, and then you go ahead the second time, and you continue in the key of G with that 1/6 chord. That's why we could call that a modulation. More on that next time. One final topic today, and that's the bottom of page 468, closely related keys. You may be thinking to yourself, well, boy, with all of these planets out there, how can you possibly figure out what key you've gone to? Well, it turns out that in the tonal system, composers have, you could think of it as their favorite planets or their favorite destinations for where to have modulations and where to have tonicizations, especially modulations here. So down at the bottom of 468, where it says closely related keys, diatonic modulations move from a home key to any of its closely related keys. In reality, and especially in later Romantic music, modulations can go anywhere, not just to closely related keys. But closely related keys are the ones that are more typical for where are you going to modulate. And every key is going to have a set of what we call closely related keys. You can determine those closely related keys using two systems. They'll come out with the same answer for either system. The first one is at the bottom of page 468. It says, closely related keys are defined as the keys derived from consonant triads that occur on each scale degree of the home key. So if you're thinking of C major, you have a consonant triad on 2, on 3, on 4, on 5, on 6, but not on 7 because that's a dissonant diminished triad. 7 is dissonant. So the key of 2, D minor, 3, E minor, 4, F major, 5, G major, or 6, A minor would be considered the closely related keys to C major. And you can see them in that lowest bottom paragraph on 468, also represented by their Roman numerals. So it would be the key of 2, the key of 3, the key of 4, the key of 5, and the key of 6. Now, if we think of a minor key, and they're using C minor as an example, we can say if we just take the natural minor, now the key of 2 is diminished, so that would not be one of these closely related keys. We remember from applied chords that the diminished chord is not a suitable target for an applied chord because it's dissonant. So then we have to go to 3, E flat, 4, G minor, 4 was F minor, 5, G minor, and 6, A flat major. And if we stay in natural minor, we can have 7, the key of B flat major. And so in C minor, those would be the closely related keys. 3, E flat major, 4, F minor, 5, G minor, 6, A flat major, and 7, B flat major. On page 469, directly below the musical example, there's another way to determine the closely related keys, and that is you take the key whose key signature differs by no more than one accidental, no more than one sharp or flat, as compared with the original key. So we'll do the same keys again. So for C major, that's no sharps, no flats. So we'll take its relative minor, which is the same key signature, no sharps, no flats, that's A minor. Then the major and minor keys that have one sharp, that'd be G major and E minor. And the major and minor keys that have one flat, that'd be F major and D minor. So we take the original major key, its relative minor, the two keys that have one sharp or one accidental away on the sharp side, and the two keys that are one accidental away on the flat side. And if you add all of those up, you'll get the same collection of keys that we determined the other way using the consonant triads. For C minor, it's 3 flats. The major key with the same key signature is E flat. And then we're going to go up one more flat. So that would be the keys of F minor and A flat major. And then we're going to take a flat away and we're going to go to the keys with two flats. That's G minor and B flat. And again, we get the same collection of keys. And you wondered why I was hammering on you to learn your key signatures way, 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 way back. Well, now you know. Okay, that's it for today. That's a lot of stuff. Hope you stayed on and got all of that. It's all really important stuff as we get into more and more of finding out what happens when you leave one key and go to other keys and then finally come back to your original. See you next time for the last podcast of Music 112.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head, she acts like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's a time change, hey, hey, hey. Since the return of her stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June, hey, hey, hey.